Welcome to the Institute of Leadership and Management's weekly news roundup podcast, where we take a critical look at some topical developments from the past few days with a leadership and management theme. I'm business and finance journalist Matt Packer, and in this podcast we'll be looking at stories from the week of the 30th of April, including almost half of UK senior decision makers lack confidence in their succession plans, the CIPD highlights the shocking scale of presenteeism within the UK workforce, two men who were wrongfully arrested in a Philadelphia Starbucks reach a legal settlement that could help to develop new leaders, bad news for three broadband and mobile operators in an Ofcom customer service poll, and Sainsbury's boss Mike Coop lands a bad review for an impromptu spot of singing. Joining me to analyse these developments is the Institute's Head of Research, Policy and Standards, Kate Cooper. Hello there, Kate.
Hello, Matt.
Okay, in our first story, a new white paper from recruitment agency BPS World shows that while 90% of UK senior decision makers have implemented succession plans, 44% aren't confident that they're working. One of their main concerns is a struggle to find people who can have a positive influence on teams, and BPS World CEO Simon Connington points out that some people are not suited to managing others. He even cites a football analogy, quote, "Your best footballer could potentially become a terrible manager, yet some fairly average players have become the best managers," close quote. The white paper advises bosses to look at ways of helping people to advance into senior roles without managing teams. Now, is this the correct approach, or do those individuals simply require management training to show them the way?
There is something rather deterministic about this, the idea that you are somehow born knowing how to coach. That is about relationships, and working at your relationships is something that you develop over a lifetime. Indeed, some people do enjoy managing others more than others, but that doesn't mean to say that they can't be encouraged to do it, to be supported and developed. And we very much say you can learn all sorts of strategies for managing teams.
Yeah, this seems to kind of box people in a bit, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. The idea that you're born to be a football coach seems a particularly unusual one. And any coach would tell you how much they learn by going on coaching courses, by gaining their coaching qualifications, by watching other coaches. Coaching is a great thing because you've been given feedback all the time in terms of the performance of the athlete or the players.
It seems unfair to assume that people either have this or haven't got it.
Yeah. And of course, there's so many other things that influence how well you lead a team. And one of them, of course, is confidence and somebody believing in you, sponsoring you, encouraging you. That can be truly transformational.
All right. In our second story, the CIPD has found that the UK's level of presenteeism, or people turning up to work when they're ill, has tripled from 26% in 2010 to 86% now. At the same time, almost 70% of UK workers have observed instances of leavism, colleagues using their annual leave as a window for catching up on work. CIPD Senior Employment Relations Advisor Rachel Suff has called the figures shocking and has called upon employers to create an evidence base for understanding work-related stress. What other measures do you think they should take?
Well, really, rather linking to the previous piece about the quality of the relationships that you have with your staff, why would anybody want somebody who's not well to come to work? Why would anybody who really cares about their staff want them to be working when they're on holiday? And if we again go back to the previous piece, do you really want to be in the position of managing people when the culture of the organisation expects them to come in when they're ill and to work when they're on holiday?
It's horrible that people are actually feeling compelled to do this as well. You know, that there's this pull to go into the workplace when they're just not in a fit state.
But it's more than not in a fit state for that one day when you've got a cold or you're feeling under the weather. How are you doing your best if you're feeling so compelled to have to come to work, whatever's going on with you personally? That's not somebody who's aligning their own values and their own sense of purpose with that of the organisation. And I don't think this is me being idealistic. I think this is really about you get the best out of people by caring for them and looking after them.
Okay, next up, two black men who were wrongfully arrested for trespassing in a Philadelphia Starbucks last month have reached a settlement with city authorities that bodes well for local leadership development. The men, who have now been named as Rashawn Nelson and Dante Robinson, have chosen not to launch full legal proceedings against City Hall for the way the police treated them. Instead, they have accepted symbolic damages of just $1 each, plus a commitment from Philadelphia Mayor Jim Kenney to fund a $200,000 mentoring program for local young entrepreneurs at high school level. Now, this strikes me as a bit of a masterstroke, avoiding painful litigation in favour of something far more constructive. What do you think?
If you're looking for inspirational role models, these two are exactly the sort of people you need, because what they're saying is this happened to us, but actually it's not about us. It's about something much more important. And rather than feeling individually wronged, we're going to take that feeling and make sure as much as they can that it doesn't happen again, and use that opportunity to raise awareness of all the potential that exists that's untapped and it's not being used. And I just think it's a great story.
It's a brilliant resolution, I think. And I think the gentlemen are actually going to have an input into how the mentoring program plays out. So that's really positive as well, isn't it?
Well, going back to the previous piece about how important sponsorship is, how important it is to have that somebody believes in you. And of course, these two have just showed people that from even the worst of situations, something good can come out of it. And I was really interested to see that the programs for young entrepreneurs, because again, that belief that you can control your own destiny is very powerful.
Yes, indeed. Okay, in our next story, TalkTalk, Vodafone and Virgin Mobile have all flunked a new Ofcom poll of customer service satisfaction levels in the broadband and mobile markets. TalkTalk scored poorly across most of the regulator's customer service measures for broadband, while Vodafone and Virgin Mobile received similarly low ratings in the mobile category. In all three cases, the poll found that users were unlikely to recommend the brands to their friends. Ofcom Consumer Group Director Lindsay Fussell said that the regulator is urging customers to look beyond tariffs while selecting their provider. With the TSB IT crisis still rumbling on, this seems like a particularly potent message, doesn't it?
It is, and it's one regulators tend to use a lot. Well, people could just change providers. But one of the reasons we don't is actually it's still quite tedious and quite difficult.
Yes.
And I don't think they're particularly interested in customer service, to be honest, because if they were, it would be a lot better. Yeah. I think you choose a provider and, of course, you say to your friends, well, never go with Vodafone, never go with Virgin, but they're locked into whoever they've been with.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost the same kind of syndrome as people who try to leave gym memberships.
It is. And gyms particularly rely on people paying and not attending, because if every one of us who paid for a gym attended, of course, you wouldn't be able to get through the door.
Absolutely. Okay, and finally, I couldn't let this podcast go by without mentioning Sainsbury's boss Mike Coop's singing sideline. As many listeners would no doubt have seen, Mr. Coop was caught on a hot mic and camera this week singing We're in the Money as his firm's proposed merger with Asda was formally announced, news that triggered a 20% jump in Sainsbury's share price. Coop's chosen ditty grated with Forum of Private Business Managing Director Ian Cass, who said that if the song signals Coop's position on the deal, small suppliers would be more likely to go for AC/DC's classic Highway to Hell. All told, this was quite a revealing Freudian slip, wasn't it?
Well, we're encouraged to be authentic, aren't we? We're encouraged to show the human side of us. And of course, in this moment of joy, yes, he not only perhaps chose the wrong song to sing, but unfortunately...
the wrong situation in which to sing it.
Yes. So that is a shame. Are the suppliers going to be happy? Well, supermarkets have got to be able to trust their supply chains. They've got to be able to say 100% we know where they're getting their raw materials from. We know we can trust them. And that isn't a relationship where you can just be focusing on driving down margins. So I'm hopeful that the deal will enable new negotiations to be put in place. And that for Mike Coop, maybe he's going to have to be that little bit more careful now in how he deals with them.
Yes,
maybe
I think he's
more generous.
Yeah, then he'll probably be exercising a little bit more discretion on his vocal acrobatics from now on as well.
Well, I was at a conference the day before yesterday in Wales for the housing sector. And one of the things that they were producing was a song for the housing sector that were collaboratively producing.
That's not something that you hear about every day.
It's not, and it captured absolutely everybody's imagination.
Oh, fantastic.
And so perhaps Mike's a bit ahead of the curve there. Instead of reporting your successes through press releases, you sing them.
Well, we'll see if that catches on.
Yes.
Okay, that concludes this week's episode. Listeners can find further topical content in the News and Views section of the Institute's website, which can be found at www.institutelm.com. That's www.institutelm.com. Thank you very much indeed for your insights, Kate. I look forward to exploring a new set of stories with you next week.
Thanks, Matt.